Welcome to Roughing the Passer Podcast. Will Brinson live from Radio Row. Nick Costas live from sunny Fort Lauderdale. We have actually have Pete Prisco and Jason Lockenfora who will join us on the show later. They are currently kicking back and after a hard day's work. But we'll have them on to break down all the action from Radio Row later in the day. For now, Nick, let's hit some props and talk about your...
Well, first off, to be fair, you know, Pete is... I mean, he's like Farouk Assault in Willy Wonka. The guy just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Like, he is ballooning by the day. Like, he might be morbidly obese by the time Monday rolls around after a full week in Houston. So we know that right now he's probably chowing down on ribs, maybe some mac and cheese. Tweet at Prisco CBS and tell him that he's got to go on a diet because, quite frankly, we're worried about his rotund nature here. And by the way, Willie, doing the show, just wrapped up a five-hour live National Signing Day show for CBS Sports, me and Brady Quinn and Barton Simmons. It was awesome. In a related story, I'm exhausted, so I'm feeling a little loopy right now. So this will be fun.
Well, and the nice thing is we're basically gonna do half the show with you and me, and then half the show with those guys. So you can go home and get some sleep. And did I not?
So the show will be half good.
No, it'll be full good. It'll be just sprint for half the show, and then you can go pass out. Did I not say when we were texting yesterday? I was like, dude, you're gonna be pretty tired after a signing day live show. You're like, no, it'd be easy. We'll bang out 30 minutes of podcast. Not the case.
See, this is the thing. You know, I care so much about our listeners and our subscribers who tweet us asking us where the podcast is that tomorrow's going to be impossible, tomorrow, Thursday, and I don't want to wait till Friday. We want to get this out there. We want to put winners in people's hands and money in their pocket early enough in the week so they can get their picks in.
That's right. All right, we need to get this out of the way first, and this is – let's go ahead and get our picks out of the way because I think it's going to lay the groundwork – for where we're going with these props, right? I mean, like, normally you would do props, and then picks. But let's go ahead and get the picks out of the way because you and I were texting about this. I think that every single aspect of this game points to the idea that the New England Patriots will win, and yet I'm taking the Falcons.
Well, I think you just gave the best case possible to take the Falcons. Is because everything's pointing towards the Patriots. Everyone's going to take New England, or most people are going to take New England. The line hasn't moved yet, and that's really the fascinating thing, right, is we haven't seen sharp money come in one way or another to really move this line in one direction, to really let you know where the sharps are at. I think that money's going to come in on the Atlanta Falcons here. I think that this will close potentially. I think there's a better chance the line closes at New England minus 2.5 as opposed to Atlanta minus 3.5. And at Pinnacle, which is one of the sharpest books, it's plus 107 right now at New England minus 3. 58.5 is the total. I've been saying it for weeks, and I got to give my friend Fatboy Prisco some love here because we've been saying it for about a month now. Falcons are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't care who they face in the Super Bowl, who they have to face on the way there. I'm taking Atlanta. I think the Falcons are going to win this game by double digits. I like a 34-24 final score. For those of you keeping track at home, that would be the Falcons and the under.
Yeah, so real quickly, on the Falcons, I've got it. Let's say I'm looking at a website that might perchance allow the common man to place a wager, right?
Mm.
I see New England minus 3 at minus 105, Atlanta plus 3 at minus 115. So it's sort of like this three-point line that we're looking at, if you want to get the Falcons, you need to get it now. Because it's going
to
teeter.
It's closer to 2.5 than it is to 3.5.
Right. But I think it's critical. So, like, you don't want it to go to – I mean, if it goes to 2.5 and then you have to buy a point, it's going to be more expensive than 115. So the point is get it in now if you like it because it could shift dramatically. The over-under is interesting because it jumped up to 60, Nick, and then it came back down to 58.5. I wish I had jumped in on the under then. I don't really love it at 58.5 because I think it could definitely go over. But here's the thing. The last four times the number has been over 50, and those are the only four times since 2000, all four times it's gone under. Three of those four times featured Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots, two against the Giants, obviously, and then one against the Rams in the 2000 Super Bowl. And then the other
all
one.
All went under.
All went under. And then the other one that went under was Saints-Colts indoors. In 2009, I mean, that was like the all-time this-has-to-go-over game. Wasn't that indoors or was it outdoors?
Actually, that was outdoors.
That was outdoors.
It was in Miami.
It was outdoors, no. But it was nice weather. There was an onside kick game, yeah.
That's actually the last game pick that I lost on the Super Bowl was
really?
Colts Saints.
Wow.
Believe it or not. I nailed Packers Steelers, Giants Patriots, Ravens 49ers, Seahawks Broncos, Patriots Seahawks, and Broncos Panthers last year. Nailed all of them.
Good
so I'm at last six in a row.
That's actually the last one I got correct. So we're on no, I'm just kidding. I nailed Patriots Seahawks, but I've been off lately. And look, honestly, the reason, and I think there are a lot of people out there who probably feel the same way I do about this. 3 points you're getting from the Falcons. You love getting the cash there or getting the points there. But the problem is Bill Belichick in 2 weeks to freaking prepare for an offense that while it's dynamic, you know, he does do a good job of, I don't know if you've heard about this, maybe mention this, he takes away a best weapon. I don't know if you heard anything about this, Bill Belichick doing this.
Yeah, well, how about the fact that that 2 weeks to prepare didn't really work so well in Super Bowls 42 or 46. I know people say, oh, Eli Manning and the Giants got lucky. Like, it is within the realm of possibility. Like, the Patriots have lost playoff games before. Like, this is a thing that has happened. Like, they lose all the years that they've made the playoffs and have not won the Super Bowl, they lose at some point in the postseason. It is not outside the realm of possibility that the Patriots will lose this game on Sunday like a lot of people think it is.
It's absolutely. And I'll tell you what's interesting, by the way. I think it's, to me, it's interesting. The fact that everyone is too busy talking about the Patriots and the NFL and completely ignoring the Falcons. Like, I like a team with a chip on their shoulder heading into the Super Bowl, right? I mean, that's what you want, is a team that's being totally ignored and everybody's pretending that they can't win that game. You want to back that team, and I think that the Falcons are kind of that team despite only being +3 in this game.
And also, I think the Patriots are favored in this game because of Brady and Belichick.
Well, yes.
Like, I do not think that they would be favored otherwise. And look, and that's fair, right? Given the pedigree, the 4 Super Bowl championships, arguably the GOAT coach and the GOAT quarterback,
let's,
right?
Let's do this. Let's put... If you flip the quarterback and the coach, what does the line do?
So saying what? That the Patriots
Falcons,
had...
The Patriots.
The Falcons would be favored.
Yeah, right?
But, 100%.
Right, but I mean, like, that's called value.
You're paying the Belichick-Brady tax, 100%.
Absolutely.
The problem for me is that, do you give the Patriots the edge at quarterback? Yes. And I don't even think you could give them the edge necessarily right now, but I think career-wise, obviously, you do. And obviously, you give Belichick the edge over Dan Quinn. But the Falcons are a better football team than the Patriots from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And I'm not particularly sure that it's particularly close.
So this is an interesting – do you follow – we talk about Football Outsiders DVOA on this podcast pretty frequently, I think, right? Well, Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz, who runs it, is a Patriots guy, okay? I mean, like, he's always been a big Patriots fan, makes no bones about it. But his analysis is objective. It doesn't seep in, you know, the fandom doesn't seep into trying to break down these numbers. But here's what's interesting. The Patriots are the number one team in DVOA, but they were the 16th best team in defensive DVOA, despite being the number one scoring defense in the NFL. And what that tells me when you start breaking down the stats and looking at the numbers is that the Patriots haven't played anybody. They played Russell Wilson once.
Can I toss something out there, bro? The AFC sucks.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. I mean, like, he played Brock Osweiler twice. I mean, they had Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill was probably the third best quarterback that the Patriots faced besides Tyrod Taylor and Russell Wilson, right? Or Andy Dalton, too. I mean, that's it. I mean, like, they haven't played anybody.
I don't, you know, honestly, stats like that are good, and you're not wrong about it. But for me, it comes down to I just don't think anyone can stop Atlanta right now and this offense. I think maybe you could have said last year's Broncos because the pass rush were so ridiculous, but I just don't see the Patriots stopping them here. I don't think it's going to happen.
By the way, this is the beauty of Radio Row. So Drew Brees just walked by me and is hanging out right behind you. You want to see Drew Brees? Say what's up,
sure.
Drew. Say what's up, Drew Brees.
Hey, what's up, Drew? What's going on, buddy? It's a nice polo shirt. Color.
Yeah, I like that, right? But I do find that like the most – obviously our listeners can't see that, but I do find that the most fascinating thing about this is that like somebody famous rolls in here and it just – nobody budges. It's very
correct,
fascinating.
Because that's sort of the deal, which is fun.
Right, exactly. All right, so let's move on to the props. And talk about these props. Again, we both like the Falcons. So if you don't like the Falcons, you might not like these props as much. I'm looking at your list. I dig it. First of
you
all,
you like my list, my prop bets.
Yeah, sure. I love the list. First of all, let's talk about Donald Trump, the president, who as the president of the United States, look, he likes to tweet. Okay. Over under on total tweets, the under at 6.5, -140. I feel like the under is a lock because he's got to take the phone away. He's not going to be blasting out third quarter advice for the Super Bowl, is he?
All you need to do essentially to win this bet is to make it past noon and you win. Because the flurry of stuff with Trump. So like, let's say, right, that Lady Gaga decides to use the halftime show as a platform to talk politics.
Sure.
And to bash Donald Trump. Trump is not going to respond right then and there. He's going to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and have a tweet storm then and there. So I feel like if you make it past noon, so like if something earth-shattering happens on Saturday night, like they go off on Saturday Night Live, something else happens, you get like two or three things that you know he's going to tweet about on Sunday morning, maybe you've got a chance of losing. But if you make it past noon, you're golden. You win. The Donald Trump tweet pattern is he tweets early in the morning after stuff that has happened the night before, and he always tweets in the morning. So if you make it past noon and nothing cataclysmic in the world happens, God forbid, you will win that bet if you go under.
Does it run through the course of the day? Is that how that works in the bet, or is it during the game?
I'm guessing it's midnight to midnight.
I would have thought it would have been something where you get it where it's like Trump throughout the game. I'm a little nervous about the whole day.
No way it's throughout the game. It's Sunday. 100%.
Yeah, six and a half is a lot. All right.
He's not going to tweet six and a half times during the game. He's not going to tweet at all during the game.
Here's an interesting one. Will there be a Dirty Bird dance? Yes, it's plus 120. We haven't seen a Dirty Bird in a while. You thinking there might be an homage here?
This is why I think that the answer is yes. I think the Falcons are going to win the game, and I think they're going to win by double digits. And my final score is 34-24. So let's say for argument's sake, the Falcons score with 6 minutes left to go up 34-17, and the Patriots get a late touchdown and cut it to 10. They're going to be doing the Dirty Bird at that point. Or if they take an early lead, you could see a little Dirty Bird action. I like Atlanta in this game, and I think Atlanta wins fairly comfortably. So yeah, I do think they'll be a Dirty Bird, and I'll take those odds at plus 120.
I thought we got a Dirty Bird like two Super Bowls ago. Didn't the Seahawks do a Dirty Bird? Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. I don't think so. Somebody
did a Dirty Bird recently. I'll look that up afterwards. Brady, over under 36.5 pass attempts. Do you like the over or the under there?
I like the over here. It's a steep price to pay at minus 170, but I go back to Super Bowl 49. Remember who the defensive coordinator was for Seattle? Falcons coach Dan Quinn. The Patriots picked them apart in that game. And look, it was a close game, but Brady had close to 50 pass attempts, almost a 70% completion percentage. And I know I'm giving sort of reasons why I think the Patriots could maybe win this game. I just think Atlanta's offense is too good, so put that to bed. But I do think that the Patriots are going to have to throw a lot in this football game to stay in it. I think Brady goes over 40 pass attempts in this game. So it's a steep price at minus 170, but one that I would be willing to pay.
What's his? Do you know what his over-under for completions is in that?
I can find out in one second.
Okay, sorry. I could have looked first. But I say that because I was watching that game last night, actually. Again, it came on NFL Network as a replay. And it's worth mentioning, too, that the Patriots did a really good job of shutting down the Seahawks offense, right, in Super Bowl 49. And Russell Wilson didn't complete a pass until into the second quarter. Tom Brady at that point had 14 completions. But then the Seahawks ended up 28-14 later in that game. Like, you could score on the Patriots. And as good as Bill Belichick and that defense and Matt Patricia are, you can put up points on them if you know in a situation where you can, you know, where you got an offense like the Falcons. It's not unheard of for Atlanta to put up points. Seattle already did it.
By the way, it's 24.5 Brady completions. He'll go over.
If you like the over on 36.5 attempts, you got to like the over on 24.5 too. What's the?
I just think that there's historical precedent that tells you that they're going to do it.
Yeah, this is the only situation that really scares me about the Patriots is that if they LeGarrette Blount runs 35 times for 175 yards, then all of this has disappeared out the window. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be bad. Right. Who do you like to win the MVP, or do you like somebody to win the MVP? I feel like those odds are a little slanted Vegas' favorite, like most odds.
All right, so I think like you go back here, and let's go back to Super Bowl 40. What was Super Bowl 41? Super Bowl 40 is Steelers, Seahawks. Okay, so let's go back to Super Bowl 41, which was Colts-Bears, right? Peyton Manning MVP. Super Bowl 42, Eli Manning MVP. Then you had Santonio. And I'm not going to run through the rest of it. But the point is that it's almost always the quarterback of the winning team. So you can get cute and go with, you know, you could go with Julio Jones if you like the Falcons. Or maybe you could go with, you know, Julian Edelman or LeGarrette Blount if you like the Patriots. But if you like the Patriots, you bet on Tom Brady. If you like the Falcons, you bet on Matt Ryan. Don't get cute with the MVP award. Because then you're going to end up in a situation where it's Malcolm Smith like it was a couple years ago. And no one in their right mind would pick Malcolm Smith. So I am going to go with Matthew Ice to win Super Bowl MVP. Because I think the Falcons are going to win the game.
Malcolm Smith, by the way, in a game where the defense clearly dominated. And then Von Miller, the same deal for the Broncos when they beat the Panthers last year. Defense clearly dominated. And then, you know, don't forget on that Santonio Holmes thing where he won. that was sort of in a time frame where people didn't really want to give awards to Big Ben Roethlisberger. So you have to imagine that were circumstances different, perhaps Big Ben wins that award. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I still think, this is neither here nor there, but the Cardinals should have won that game, and Larry Fitzgerald really should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl.
That was the greatest playoff postseason run by a wide receiver in NFL history.
Julio Jones might be able to beat it if he has a monster game on Sunday, but you're 100% right about the Larry Fitzgerald game. And it's, people forget about it. If Santonio doesn't pull that pass in the corner of the end zone, the lasting image of that game, and one of the iconic images, I think, in Super Bowl history, is Larry Fitzgerald streaking down the middle of the field in the fourth quarter to give Arizona the lead as Troy Polamalu tries in futile fashion to chase him down. And, of course, that's now forgotten in the annals of history because the Steelers came back and won.
Yeah, and, dude, he destroyed the Panthers that year, too. It was just Larry Fitzgerald, like, he finally got a quarterback. He elevated his game to this next level, and he was just mowing through people in the playoffs just for point of reference. Oh, my God. So he had 101, 166, 152, and 127 with 7 touchdowns in 4 playoff games in those playoffs. That is absurd. More props.
He was incredible. Yeah,
it was unbelievable. Great run. Coin toss. We're both tails guys, right? It's an easy choice. You go tails.
Well, here, because, you think about the great scientific theorems in life. You've got relativity, heliocentrism, and, of course, tails never fails. I mean, it's an incontrovertible scientific fact that tails never fails. I mean, don't blame me. Blame science. Blame Albert Einstein. He's the one that came up with this, I'm pretty sure. So in case you've got a little pause and you say, hey, it's a 50-50 chance. First off, you're wrong because tails never fails. But in the national championship game, the coin toss came up heads. If that doesn't mean that the next coin toss is coming up tails, then I failed my statistics class, and I'm pretty sure I got a D, and I didn't get an F in statistics class. So you're damn right. Tails never fails. I've already got a couple units on it, on tails for the coin toss. So I plan on starting off the Super Bowl in winning order with the coin toss being tails.
God, that feeling when you nail that coin toss and you're up cash early in the Super Bowl is a very good one. And look, the nice thing about the coin toss is the odds aren't going to change. It's going to stay at 105 unless you put a lot of units on it. Two guys.
I feel like my units and other people's units might be different. I don't think that my units will be enough to move the line.
Probably not. Mine are the same way. Two guys that I don't think like people are necessarily talking about enough when it comes to the Falcons, because if the secondary can take away Julio Jones, if the Patriots secondary can take away Julio, take away Taylor Gabriel, take away Mohamed Sanu, and we're talking about a lot of ifs here, but if they do, there's still two really good receiving backs in Atlanta. You like the over on their yardage?
Yeah, I like the over for both Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman catching passes out of the backfield. And I think if you're Bill Belichick, like, you almost have to try and take Julio Jones out of the game, because if you let Julio beat you, he's going to beat you. He's going to go for a 170 and a couple touchdowns because he's probably the best receiver in football. So I will go over 33.5 receiving yards for both Freeman and Coleman, both at -120.
I actually like that one of those maybe hitting early too, especially if the Falcons sort of come out a little conservative on their first drive. Maybe some dump offs, Matt Ryan kind of feeling out the Patriots defense a little bit. I wouldn't be surprising. And speaking of first drives, who do you like plunging in for the first touchdown?
Give me Tevin Coleman at +850 here. I like the odds a little better than Devontae Freeman. I think it'll be one of those two players. I think the Falcons will score first, and I think it'll be one of those two running backs. I'm going to go with Coleman because the odds are a little better. +850, Tevin Coleman to score the first touchdown.
You're all of a sudden dancing when it's tails and Tevin Coleman plunging in. And finally, what's the last prop you love? A little coach's challenge action?
So I want to sort of explain this a little bit, right? So
sure,
you can bet on the first team to throw the coach's challenge flag. Now, in essence, it's a coin flip, because who the hell knows what's going to happen, right? But what this does now is it turns every single play of the game into a mini Super Bowl, right? So let's say that you bet on the Falcons to throw the flag, right? And the Falcons have the ball, and Devontae Freeman has a run, and it looks like an innocuous regular run, right? But all of a sudden, at the bottom of the pile, the Patriots start motioning that they have the football, and Devin McCourty comes out from the bottom of the pile with the football. But Devontae Freeman's pointing to the ground as if to say he was down. The camera pans to Dan Quinn, and he's getting relayed messages from upstairs, and you don't know what's going to happen. Hot damn, that's the most exciting moment of the game right there. So you really want to make each and every play of the Super Bowl or any football game exciting, you bet on which team's going to throw the first coach's challenge, and you pray for chaos. You pray for something crazy to happen that causes the coach's flag to get thrown. I'm telling you, it's awesome. I'm going to take the Falcons here because I'm dirty birding it up. Minus 120, Dan Quinn to throw the challenge flag first.
God, I love it. All right, I got a couple here I got for you, too. The over-under for the shortest touchdown. I'm taking the under. 1.5. That's a LeGarrette Blount plunges in from 1 yard. Tom Brady sneaks in from 1 yard. And
so you think the shortest touchdown will be a yard?
Yeah, and you have Julio Jones, who consistently draws pass interference penalties deep. If he gets one in the end zone, that's a 1 yard touchdown for the Falcons. I love the 1 yard touchdown. Plus,
okay,
I
like that.
My buddy's my buddy Garrett is loves the over in that, and I like going against Garrett too. Malcolm Butler plus.
What the hell does Garrett know? Garrett's a real loser.
He knows nothing. You know, I kind of like the Falcons. He would probably agree. I kind of like the Falcons first half.
Much like Jon Snow.
It's only one.
Except not as good looking.
It's only 1.5, but I wouldn't be surprised because of the way that the Falcons come out of the gate, and they've scored touchdowns on 8 straight opening drives. That's an incredible streak. 9 would be impressive as long as Kyle Shanahan, as long as Bill Belichick didn't steal. Wasn't the guy who got the book back for Kyle Shanahan's, you know, media day and doesn't have his script for the opening drive. I think they go down and get a touchdown, too. I like the Falcons plus 1.5 in the first half as well.
Love it. I totally agree.
And this one is surprising to me, too. Will Matt Ryan throw a touchdown pass in the first quarter? Yes, is plus 120.
Yeah, that one's tough because it could easily be a run by one of the two running backs. So true. I think that's a coin flip.
All right, what about and then the other one I like, the over under the total touchdown yardage in this game is 100.5. I love the over. Falcons are big play touchdowns. I mean, look, now it's a sort of a hedge on that 1.5 yarder too. That's the beauty of it. If I get the one, then all of a sudden I can hedge on the 100, but you gotta get 99 more. But if you're thinking there's gonna be what, 6 touchdowns in this game?
Yeah, I have no opinion on that one.
All right, that's fine. And
but you're right though. If I'm predicting 34-24, that's 4 touchdowns for Atlanta, 3 touchdowns for the Patriots. That's 7 touchdowns. It'll probably go over 100.
Yeah, I mean, it should go over 100, mathematically speaking. And then will a roughing the passer penalty be called in the game? I love this. And yes, it's plus 120. That's a Bovada.
Oh, my God. Is Tom Brady playing in the game?
Yeah, you know Brady is going to.
You breathe on Tom Brady, you get a roughing the passer 100%. I love that.
Absolutely. And Matt Ryan is a pocket quarterback as well. I see a roughing the passer penalty happening in this game. So those are the props I love. Might have a few more I'll sprinkle in later. But I need to dig back through after a long day of travel, Nick. And you need to probably. You know what? I haven't eaten lunch today. I'm starving. I bet you haven't eaten lunch either.
Oh, no, I'm on this new diet now where I eat like 6 times a day, but it's all healthy stuff. I feel great at the moment because I've already eaten like 4 times today.
Well, good for you.
I've also been up for 10 hours already.
Well, you know what I wish I could do right now? I wish I could walk downstairs like I usually do during our podcast, and I wish I could go get Blue Apron. Unfortunately.
Wow, how good is Blue Apron?
It's unbelievable. I had, I'm trying to think of all the fantastic things my wife made me before we left. I don't have those available to me in Houston. But
did your wife make the trip to Houston with you?
No, she did not, because we had this puppy at the house. So it was a non-starter on that. But look, you people.
Brady Quinn has just walked into the room. Brady, would you like to join us on the podcast? You can pick up a headset and see if it works. I'm not sure which. It took me like 5 minutes to get connected here. Here, put it on. See if it works. Go ahead, Brady. Talk.
Hello, Brady Quinn.
Does this work?
We are live. We are live on a podcast, Brady Quinn. Thank you for that. What's going on?
it's been a long day, so I just wanted to kind of chime in to see what was happening because I did see Will. Were you passed out in some sort of like oxygen machine or something? I saw you did some sort of challenge today.
No, that actually ended up not happening. I did get to interview Terry Crews though of Idiocracy and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
TC.
Yeah. Good dude.
I met TC before.
And Bill Ryder, he talked to Von Miller before I got there. It was sort of a combo thing with those guys. So I had an obstacle course, but didn't actually do the obstacle course. As you know, Brady, I am one of the most physically fit individuals in America. So I would have been fine doing it, but unfortunately it didn't happen.
That is that's not true, but you are the most physically fit of all the writers that are down at Super Bowl right now for CBS.
I was just saying, we saw Prisco. I said he's like Farouk Assault from Willy Wonka. The guy's blowing up by the day. I mean, you could stick a pin in Pete and he'd float away into the stratosphere.
Real quick, Will, I do have to ask you this question. Do we have the shortest group of writers down at Super Bowl between you, JLC, and Pete Prisco?
We average 5 5'6" per rider, I believe. Is that what?
And that's well, probably Briscoe's 5'3". So
and that's because I'm bringing it up too. That's the problem.
Let's just hope it's not a battle royale between like other networks, because I don't think we're winning that one, buddy.
Hey, but
well,
no,
we'd have to be in there.
What? I work for two. I'd
no,
be torn.
You only work for CBS.
I can be persuaded.
Yes. No. It's the
who do you like better? Your coworkers at CBS or your coworkers at Fox?
Oh, don't put me in that position on a podcast.
Oh my God, you won't answer on this podcast? That's such an insult.
I'm gonna leave now.
All right. While you're here,
hey, wait, Brady, before you go, I need to know how did Notre Dame do on signing day, and how did NC State do on signing day?
Notre Dame did much better.
Let me start off by saying that.
Notre Dame did much better. Obviously,
but
you did much better.
They got leapfrogged because they were 10th. They got leapfrogged by Florida at the last minute because they signed two kids that looks like they have a bunch of red flags. So we'll see if they even end up enrolling in Florida. But it's neither the case. My pick for the Super Bowl, New England Patriots, close game. But I think they end up kind of winning out in the end.
Who
defense
covers?
And Tom Brady. Let's see.
Patriots
they hit the over, and I actually think it's a push. If it stays at 3, that's the last line I saw it at.
So you think it'll be a 3-point New England?
31-28 is the prediction that I'm putting out there.
Are you nervous about Pete Prisco's health? Because like I said, like he's getting more rotund by the minute.
I'm not so much nervous about his health, but maybe depending on who wins the bet between you and him, since you do have a very, very
Will,
tight
Will, should we fill the list? I don't think the listeners are aware of the Costos Prisco challenge here.
I don't know that I'm aware of this either.
We were in the Super Bowl.
Enjoy yourself, buddy, down there.
All right, Brady, take it easy, buddy.
And that was our friend Brady Quinn joining the podcast. When
you're getting the stop ins. I'm on Radio Row and you're getting the stop ins. That's great.
It's amazing.
And you have the bigger celebrities there. Brady Quinn's bigger celebrity than.
So me and Prisco were in the Super Contest together, and we do a head-to-head challenge, right? And we see who's got the better record. So wow, there's all egghead Prisco. On my Skype camera. So me and Pete, we went head to head, and I ended up winning by I don't know four games.
You got to lose
the playoffs. Yeah, the playoffs have not been as kind to me.
Am I ahead of you?
So this is the situation right now. Pete's up by a half a game. It's been a disastrous playoffs for yours truly. We both like the Falcons. I am going under. Pete is going over.
For the title.
So that will determine who wins our head to head picks challenge this year, which I won last year
in this matchup. Is there like a dinner? Somebody's got to buy dinner?
He'll have to admit he's going bald.
I mean, I don't admit to things that aren't true. Like, you're asking me to admit the sky's red. It's not.
Look at that recedement. When he first got to CBS, he had a full head of hair. Now look at it. It's way back.
It's like the presidency. Being here at CBS in 15 months has aged me 15 years. But I like that Pete called pot calling the kettle black.
Why not?
You're the bald eagle, buddy. You should be on the American
flag. No, I admit it. I'm bald. Some of us admit it. Some of us don't admit it.
I love this Will. Like, taking a concession that he's admitting he's bald. You're bald.
Right. Are you?
No.
Are you getting there?
No. You see my head of hair.
Am
I balding?
It's gone way back. I feel bad for you. All right, I'm out.
There you have it, folks. Those are your best bets for the props at the 2017 Super Bowl. Super Bowl LI. Don't take that hard-earned money that you make from these prop bets that were handed to you and go spend it on takeout. Or don't even bother to go to the grocery store. Who wants to drive to the grocery store and shop when you can have delicious food delivered to your door? Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, is about to give you 3 free meals, kids. 3 meals with 3 with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/roughing. Get 3 free meals with free shipping. You can start cooking right now. Some of the meals they got coming up, it's absolute fire. Cashew chicken stir fry with tango, mandarins, and jasmine rice. Crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot salad. You're going to eat healthy. You're going to eat fresh. You're going to feel better. You're going to spend time with your loved ones in the kitchen. And you're going to do it for free because you're going to go to blueapron.com/roughing. Now let's get to Jason Lockenfora, Pete Prisco, and myself live from Radio Row in Houston to preview Super Bowl LI. We're at Radio Row. You guys were kind enough to hang out.
All right, tell the joke that Mr. Quinn told Brady Quinn.
Oh, yeah, so for those that can't see, so there might be video of this, but people might be listening on iTunes.
If there's video of this, hopefully it's, like, burned, expunged from the earth.
But the collective height of NFL CBS writers at the Super Bowl currently, what's the average height right now of our group here?
Well, you're five.
I'm 5'6".
I'm probably 5'7". You're five.
You're going to claim 5'8"? He's going to claim 5'8".
I mean, right?
Well, his hair's 2 inches, so he
can stand up. We should actually stand up.
No, he's 5'6", with his hair, it's 2 inches.
Is there anybody in graphics? We could stand up, and they could put, like, a ruler.
Wait, so your hair, okay, 5'6", hair's 2 inches,
yeah,
he'll give you 5'8".
He's got the loafers in there. He's got the...
No, the loafers actually hurt you a little bit. But so, in other words, the average height is probably like 5'7". We're a bunch of short.
Well, yeah, because how tall is Breach? I mean, he's not here
yet.
Breach is actually shorter than – he's as short as Pete, I think.
He's shorter than you?
Yeah. Or
his Pete's just tight.
I used to be – you know, you get older, you get shorter. I used to be a little taller and getting shrinking.
It's all going to your shoulders now.
Yeah, shrinking.
So, but Brady, that was Brady Quinn's joke.
Brady Quinn made a joke about us. Ha, ha, ha. So, we'll make a joke back.
Yeah.
Okay, how many people here at the Super Bowl backed up Tim Tebow?
What's the average number of NFL contracts quarterbacks employed by CBSSports.com have attained in their career? What's that? Where's Pro Football Reference? You want to throw heat? I can throw heat.
We can throw heat, Brady. He throws heat all the time.
Gym music. Go Browns. I love all that continuity in Cleveland. They listen to Brady. Yeah, he's got a lot of pull there.
Throw one at him now. Come on, we're all throwing bombs.
No, I was talking to Brady earlier on this podcast. See, the first half of the podcast is me and Nick Costas doing props. Brady popped in after the signing day thing on CBS, and now this is the second half.
Quarterback scales, by the way, is the one thing I do all year that infuriates Brady Quinn more than anything.
Oh, I bet it's more than one.
I do it all the time.
More than one thing that infuriates him.
Okay, I want you guys to play quarterback scales. Matt Leiner in one hand and Brady Quinn on the other.
I'd say that's perfectly even. I'd say you found like
justice,
Nirvana.
We're kidding, Brady. We're just giving it back to you, buddy.
So that's it. It's been a good podcast. Speaking of Blue Apron, and all our sponsors.
Where does your quarterback scale fall in the Super Bowl, Pete?
Brady. Tom Brady.
How much heavier is Tom Brady on that scale than Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan's playing really well this year.
Significantly heavier body of work this year, not as heavy.
Would you like to travel back in time to a steakhouse, a drunken steakhouse, and revisit
that conversation? And who's right about that conversation now?
The guy I was talking about has been to a Super Bowl too. Let's see who's better, win the game. No, here's my legit. I think this is a legitimate question.
You're talking about your guy.
What happens when Kyle Shanahan goes to San Francisco? It's not gonna matter at all.
It'll matter.
You want to make a bet?
It'll matter, but he's still gonna be good.
He's gonna be good. I don't think we're gonna see this again.
Okay, let me ask you this: who's better, your guy or this guy?
I'll take my guy.
Really?
Really.
You take Russell Wilson over Matt Ryan?
Yes.
On what planet are you living on?
The one right now.
Living on planet John Schneider.
I'm looking at the whole totality of the situation and projecting a little bit about what's to come.
If you don't say that, will John Schneider kick you out of his
back bedroom? This has nothing to do with John. You're the one. Dude, if you don't say what you're saying, will you still be able to shave Matt Ryan's dog and take out his and run his dry cleaning?
You're like his manservant. No, I'm not. I just appreciate great quarterback play.
Will you hold
He's
his,
not great, by the way. He's not great.
Who's not great?
Matt Ryan's not great.
Is Matt Ryan elite?
He's very good. No. Very good.
And I got a story about that coming out on Friday. And I talked to a bunch of Pro Bowl players. And to tease the story, the answer to that question with the players, surprisingly, was yes.
Yeah, because the players always stroke up
no,
the players.
No, adamantly. No. I talked to them both. Okay, both.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was surprised, to be honest
with you. Both players or?
No, both on and off. I was, to be honest with you, I was surprised at how many of them said it.
Well, what's our level of elite that we're looking for anyway?
What is the scale? First of all, what are the categories?
See, I only believe.
Is it like crap, middling, average, very good, great, elite? I mean, what are the categories?
Okay, so you got Brinson, you, me.
You're going in reverse order. All right, let me ask you this. So where does rank Matt
Ryan? No, but I'm serious. Rank the categories.
Brinson, you called Brinson crap, by the way.
Well, no, I called crap, and then you called Brinson crap.
Well, all right, but no. All right,
it's crap.
Let's say Brady and Rodgers are 1 and 2 for you right now. And on all quarterbacks.
Brady, there's only 4 elite in my book, okay?
Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, and
Roethlisberger. He didn't play it this year, but he has been, okay? That's your 4. Then you got a grouping after that.
Okay.
Wilson, Rivers, Eli.
So you don't think Matt Ryan's
Ryan.
Elite. He's got him in the second category.
Right. He's in that second group.
Right, that's non-elite.
And you're
right.
Not willing to put Wilson in that second category. You got him
no,
in the
No, he's
third.
In that second category.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in the second
I'm
category.
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
But you've got Ryan ahead of him in that category.
But no, the second category is Wilson, Rivers, Ryan, Manning, Eli Manning, by the way. Who else? We're leaving out somebody there. I still think I'm in the minority.
Joe Flacco.
No.
Kirk Cousins.
How about Stafford?
Cousins could be in that category.
Stop it. Okay. He's not better than Stafford.
No, I don't think he's better than Stafford.
Okay. So Stafford's in that group then too, right?
Stafford would be my second group.
Okay.
Where does Kirk Cousins play next year?
Washington.
Obviously on the tag?
Yeah. And then they could get a long-term deal.
Could Kyle Shanahan
throw the sun and the moon at him in a trade? Maybe.
But if you they can work out, or you can work out something. And it's,
yeah, but who would Washington want off there? I mean, all the players Scott drafted in San Francisco are gone. Right, but if you're Kyle Shanahan and you've got Cleveland and San Francisco, you want to do your scales. Who's got the worst roster?
It's pretty close.
I think it's clearly San Francisco.
I think he's going to trade three. Let's say it's going to take at least three picks to get Kirk Cousins.
It's a bad roster.
At least one of them being a one. I don't think they can afford to do that, frankly.
It's a bad roster.
The reason you get Kyle Shanahan is to find the next Kirk Cousins on the cheap and not to be paying him $25 million. I mean, you're gonna pay Kirk Cousins $25 million a year and give up a one and a three and a two at the very least.
But if you're San Francisco, you can't give up the one because it's the second overall pick.
Well, maybe the one is a future one and you swap this year, but it still doesn't make sense to give up all that and to pay the guy.
Yeah.
He's got to find, is Trubisky the next Kirk Cousins? Is the kid from Clemson the next Kirk Cousins? That's the whole reason you're bringing him.
You can get Deshaun. I mean, you can get one of these guys that could end up being a good player. I think they have, 33, number 33 overall? I mean, that's your player,
but if I'm the Redskins, I'm not giving him a long-term contract to make him one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the league. I'm tagging him.
But you have to build – if you give him a long-term contract, you have to build the franchise tag guaranteed money
into
the contract
anyway.
Okay,
let's say they just tag him and he plays it out. Now you've given him $44 million for 2 years.
Right.
You don't own any of his rights moving forward. He's counted a collective $44 million against your cap.
So what? I want to see it again.
What's the point of that?
He wilted on pressure in late game.
He had a bad game against the Giants.
Yeah, he wilted under pressure.
And the Panthers. Oh, and the Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah, too bad. I mean, he had a great game against the Bears.
He had an awesome – he had a transcendent game against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Is this your new Brian Hoyer?
He's better than Brian Hoyer.
No, you take up.
I like the scrappy, quarterback.
What about the hustle in the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, dude, I like that.
Seriously,
what an idiot!
Huh?
Save yourself.
Yeah, dude, he's a grinder. Get your money, Kirk.
This is new Brian Hoyer. You've taken it on.
I still like. You like him. You say that as if I'm still not a Hoyer guy. I've been killing the Texans, this team right here, all year. You could have Brian Hoyer for $4 million. You might have played in the championship.
That ship has sailed.
He's better than Osweiler. He had a 96 rating with the same team, 19 touchdowns and 7 picks
in
11 starts. Did you see dude in the bucket walking around with the Osweiler on the side of it?
I saw that guy actually talking to Carissa Thompson at the Fox Media thing. It's just like somebody at USA Today took a picture of it. It's a very serious photo of this guy holding a microphone, and she's just trying to hold it together and not be like, what am I doing here?
Right.
And this guy's in the bucket.
But Carissa's great, and she does all that extra stuff. So
she deals
with a lot of money.
It's just an amusing. It was a very encapsulating photo.
All right, so back to Kirk Cousins. You would give him the long-term extension.
If I'm giving the guy $44 million for 2 years, I want to own him for more than 2 years.
You believe in him.
You could franchise him a third year, too.
You believe
in him. At 33. Now he's at 57 over three, and you still don't have him. You don't own him moving forward.
You believe in him.
But you can't.
I don't.
But the problem is you can't. All right, what's the deal you have to give him to get it done with his agent? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're going to have to pay him $23.5 million a year and, I mean, whatever.
How much guarantee?
$125 million and you're going to have to guarantee.
What? How much?
$55-60 million.
How about it?
You've just given him 44 for two.
So what? I want to see him do it again.
That's their move.
I want to see him do it again.
And when he does it again, now it's going to be he's going to end up getting
that
44.
Then you pay him
plus 65.
Then you pay him.
Well, you've already paid him.
So what? I'm not paying him.
You understand it's one owner.
Yeah.
It's not like a new owner comes in every year and gives him. It's all coming from the same place.
In fairness, that owner has.
He's not as. I don't think he's as rich as some of these other guys.
Oh, but, no, I meant he's already wasted a lot of money.
He has. Okay, so he's not Paul Allen. What does he do that he makes money?
I would tag him.
Johnny Rockets and Six Flags. You know, I mean, how's that working?
I would tag him. You would pay him. What would you do?
I'd tag him and pay him because he's not going to sign until you tag him.
I would tag him, and then I would throw out a deal and lowball.
Would you give him $55 million and $125 million?
Over 6 years.
What else is he going to sign? No. If you're him, you're not signing anything besides that.
Then OL. Then play for your tag.
If you're him, would you sign anything? That's not at least the tag that you just hit me with?
No.
Why am I going to negotiate lower than the tag? You just gave me the tag.
I mean, honestly, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm okay playing out the tag. Because I got $44
million.
He'll
be all right.
I'm rich.
He'll
and then
be
I'm
fine. Gonna,
and then he's going to hit the market after next year.
Right. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're walking into a situation where like Cleveland's still not going to have a quarterback. San Francisco's probably not going to have a quarterback.
There's always people could also play himself into the garbage dump, too.
If he has a season like he did this year,
the problem is he wants to be played like a top five quarterback, and he isn't close to it.
This is your problem with your argument. He's already being paid like a top five quarterback.
What
do you think the franchise tag number comes from?
What did he get this year?
$20 million.
Right. And then when
it's going to be 24.
Okay, so that's
how
44.
Many guys in the league are, how many players in the league earn more than $24 million annually?
Not a lot.
Yeah, one so, that so, I can think of. So what? Lux at 25 a
so
year.
So why
now,
didn't they give him the long-term extension last year?
They should have. Do you think, we don't think they're kicking themselves in the ass for that right now?
Well, then they certainly haven't given it to him yet. They haven't rushed to do it.
But he's not going to do it until he knows.
They want to give him a Tannehill slash Kaepernick
deal. And he's
going to
say, give me the 24, and now we're negotiating off of 24. Yeah. What impetus does he have to sign for 16 and a half now
Casey,
or whatever?
Casey blows his knee out when he's playing for the franchise tag.
But even like a, even
it's still $44 million for 2 years.
Not going forward, it is it? If he got a new deal right now.
He plays, he, like he goes to Lake Tahoe
right
and plays
now,
golf and blows
a new,
his knee out there.
If he got a new deal right now, okay, he would be getting $55 million guaranteed, correct?
At least.
Okay, so $60 million then. Well, if he plays for the franchise tag, the most guaranteed money he's getting is $24 million. There's a big difference right there.
Yeah, but if he, even if he blows out his knee while on the franchise tag, he's still got $44 million,
yeah.
And he's going to hit the market.
Right, correct. He's getting $24 million, but he ain't getting $50,
$60
million.
So maybe he plays a one-year proven contract and he proves it. He's 29, and he's still going to get another.
Right. Then go prove it. Wasn't this his prove it?
He's proved it twice.
Okay, really? Different question.
He wilted under the pressure late in the season.
Different question.
Curled up in a fetal position.
If you were Kirk Cousins.
Look at that season versus every other Washington Redskins quarterback season in the history of the franchise.
If you're Kirk Cousins. You're Kirk Cousins, not and like you're not. Realistically, you're going to get your money because I know you like to get your money. What do you do in this contract situation?
Me?
Yeah.
He I already asked, said it. He knows. He waits for
the
tag.
No.
What would I do?
What would you do if you're Kirk?
I'd try and get a $125 million deal with $60 million guaranteed.
Right. And if
but if I'm the Redskins,
you,
I'm not giving it to him.
No, I know that. But if the Redskins didn't give it to you, do you play out the tag or do you hold out?
Oh no,
you don't hold out.
Right. So you play the tag.
Right. And the Redskins can do that too.
They're applauding our Kirk Cousins argument. I wonder how much of that
they're
stuff.
Applauding Reed Bergman over there.
They are applauding
agent
Reed
to the stars.
He is agent
to
the stars.
Stars.
You're the not so.
I'm
stars?
The not so stars. Steve Smith would be the star.
Yeah. Oh, did he get, is Steve one of his guys, or was he always one of his guys?
For a while at least. Oh, I wanted to say one other thing on quarterbacks because you mentioned Manning. So the last time we did this 2 years ago was his other second favorite human being on the planet besides Matt Ryan was in that game, Peyton Manning. And at lunch today, I got him to concede that Tom Brady's better than Peyton Manning.
All time. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right?
Well, it was a no-brainer for everybody but him. I mean, if you recall.
No, and what did I say? And how did I say that? I said deep down, I'd probably still take Peyton Manning, but you got to give body of work. You got to give it to Tom Brady.
You
got to give body of work to Tom Brady.
It's got big time.
Oh. You can.
We're just taping a podcast.
You can come hang out. We're just podcasting.
Very
low. Yeah. Oh, no. Well, that was a little extreme. That was.
You,
you hit the pause button.
That really escalated. No. That was not me, Jeff Curtola. That was your buddy Reed.
That was your buddy Reed.
Okay, sure.
That was your buddy Reed, Jeff. That wasn't us.
You're actually, we've had Brady
Quinn
pop in.
That jumped up a notch.
And
did he drop an F-bomb too?
No, he just made short jokes.
He did make fun of the three of us for being
short. Short sports writer jokes.
Yeah.
All right, so back to Peyton Manning. You would take Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, we just made passer rating.
You would
jokes.
Take Tom Brady.
All right, let me ask you this: since you're
I would take Tom Brady.
Since you're generationally different, who are you taking between Tom Brady and Joe Montana?
Did you see what he did?
What'd they call
he
me
just,
an old
he just,
guy.
He just called you old. Shot at you and tried to slip it in.
Well, I'm old.
Well, but like you grew up watching, you know, like Otto Graham and
being old beats the alternative
and Johnny Unitas. So who would you pick between Brady and Montana for greatest of all time?
Tom Brady.
I agree. I agree.
I would too. I'll be honest with you. And
win or lose, right?
Look at the weapons, Joe Montana. I mean, there's a different era.
I take.
You're the same left tackle,
I take
same running back, same
I take
tight end,
Dan Marino
same wide receivers
over
every year.
Do you take Marino as the greatest quarterback of all time or the most physically talented quarterback?
The best passer, and if he played in an era today, he'd be throwing.
And
for
if
six.
He ever had anything around him,
right? He had nothing.
So you know the only four quarterbacks to ever throw for 4,500 yards and 9 attempts per pass. Dan Marino,
Matt Ryan is one of them.
Dan Marino in 84, Peyton Manning in 2004, Aaron Rodgers 2011,
and Matt Ryan.
And Matt Ryan in 2016.
But think about that though. All those happened within the last decade.
Yeah. Marino
except
doing
for Marino.
It in 84 right. is crazy.
Marino was phenomenal.
Do you hear Marino on?
He doesn't get to do what he deserves.
He was on. No, he was on Dan Patrick's show this week, and he said. They're like, who's better, Brady or Montana? He's like, I'm better than all of them.
He believes it, and he is.
Yeah, I mean, he was. He threw the garbage. Yeah, I mean, no offense to Mark Clayton and Mark Duper, but Duper he had no running game and no nothing. I told this story the other day. Somebody told me this, that they had 1,000-yard rusher in their history with Dan. It was Delvin Williams, remember? And so they asked, somebody asked Shula recently, and they said, Don, jeez. You never ran the ball. You never had any 1,000-yard rushers. And Don, in his acerbic way, said, why the oof would I run the damn ball? I had Dan Marino.
That's awesome.
That 30 for 30 never gets old. I watched it again. It was on the other night. And it's one of those where it's on. And obviously, I know how it ends. Like, I know the story. And, like, every time I'm like, I can't wait to see Marv Demoff's notes again. It's just like, I love this.
Yeah.
Kind of geek out on it.
Does Matt Ryan put himself on a Hall of Fame track if the
No, it's too early for that.
It's the same people that put Russell Wilson on a Hall of Fame track. Too early for that.
Nobody said that.
No, people did. Mike Freeman said it. Look, he's not. Neither one of those guys are on a Hall track yet.
Okay, so this is
the only Hall track guys now, and you're going to laugh at me when I say this. The only guys, quarterbacks now that are on a Hall track. Are Rodgers,
Rivers,
Breeze. I don't know if Rivers.
Big Ben is on a Hall.
Rodgers and Eli. Rodgers, Ben, Eli, and Breeze are locks.
You know, people say Eli. How can you say Eli? Well, if you use all the numbers,
no. When you look at his gross numbers, he's going to be top five in everything.
Not only that, and he has two rings.
Right.
And he has MVPs and Super Bowls.
And he did it in New York with a legendary franchise.
And he's two Super Bowl MVPs.
Do you agree that Rivers is a better quarterback than Eli? Overall,
I don't know if I'd say that.
He's a better quarterback. Eli's Hall of Fame resume, the New York stuff, and the rings.
But Ben is. Ben's a lock.
Ben's a lock.
Breeze.
Yes.
Rodgers. Brady.
Brady.
Eli.
I think Rivers would like to see Kurt Warner get in. I think that helps his case a lot.
Kurt Warner should be in. You can make the argument, is right there with Joe Montana for best postseason quarterback in the history.
And not only
of the
that, the guy's a minute away from having three Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
One Ben Roethlisberger throw.
Right. Well, that would have been two, and then the Vinatieri kick.
James Harrison 98-yard rumble.
No, the Vinatieri kick.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have three.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just said that. You don't listen.
What'd you say?
I said he's a minute away from having three rings.
All right, so we're kind of wrapping up the show because we're getting close to like an hour long.
Are we going to make our picks?
That's what we're about to do, yeah.
Give me your pick. I'm trying to get ahead of the game here.
I know it's 5 o'clock, Pete. I know you're itching to get to that bar.
You can't turn anywhere.
Who's
here,
your pick? Who you
Sims,
got?
A Sims of some sort.
Yeah, there's a Sims everywhere.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Who do I have? It's the hay is in the barn, baby. I got the Atlanta Falcons to get to 11-0.
Oh, that's right, Pete. 10-0.
Is that the Holy Grail?
No, straight up.
11-8-2.
I'm 8-2 against the spread too. Jeez.
Yeah, but 11-0.
Straight up, that's okay.
That's pretty good. Who am I picking?
I was undefeated.
The Atlanta Falcons are
going to
win the game, and they're going to cover the number.
All right, so here's my issue with the Falcons, and I'm picking the Falcons too. But here's my issue: Bill Belichick, 2 weeks to prepare. I don't know if you guys heard this, but he takes away.
Yeah, who's he taking away? Is he taking Julio away?
Take away Julio.
You really? Yeah. Okay, let's go.
He can throw 30 passes to the running backs.
How many?
Wait,
how many catches does Julio have?
How many catches do I think Julio has in the game?
Yeah.
I'll say like 5 for 65.
He's going to go 8 for 110 and a touch. He ain't taking him away. You don't take that guy away. You can take Antonio Brown.
It's easier to take Brown away than Julio.
You can't take Julio away. He's not taking Julio away.
Well, because Kyle's going to move him around all over the place.
And he's big. He's physical. Yeah. He's tough. He's not going to take him away.
The other thing, too, about the Falcons is if you do take Julio away, Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu are better alternative options than Kobe Hamilton and Sammy.
Right, yes. Correct. And their backs, they're not Bell, but Bell went out of the game. Yeah. And their backs are
Costas
great receivers.
Earlier on the show pointed out the over-under for the running backs receiving yards is a prop bet, 33.5 for both of them.
No, that's what I said. I think they're going to take Julio away, and he'll throw 10 times to each running back.
Right, it's not just easy little dump-offs either.
They'll get them down the field.
You know me. I criticized Kyle Shanahan last year more than anybody out there. I want to give him all the props in the world, okay? I sincerely mean that.
Do you want to give him a kiss?
No, I don't kiss anybody.
I mean, like just a platonic little peck on the cheek.
A little smooch on the side?
Prisco's smooch.
Usually it's a
smooch
kiss
of the year
when I pick your team.
That's true.
But
seriously, I'm going with New England.
You're going with New England?
Why?
Because for some of what you said, Belichick, all this time to prepare, fundamentally sound. The times they've lost on a big stage, it's been the teams that had a formula where they could bring four and never have to bring numbers and frustrate Brady throughout a game. I don't think Vic Beasley and the afterthoughts
Grady, Jared,
is going to be.
Rashad,
this is not the NASCAR package of the Giants. This is not Von Miller and Shane Ray and DeMarcus Ware on the field at the same time in the championship game against an overmatched offensive line. His offensive line is better. I wonder if there was a prop bet on number of carries for LeGarrette Blount.
Yes.
I could see him coming out, he likes to go jumbo, going six offensive linemen and running at Vic Beasley for the first quarter of the game and just trying to take him out.
Yeah, but the problem with that is if you run the ball and you get a field goal, and then they go down in four plays and get a touchdown. Then all of a sudden you look up and it's 7-3.
It's Tom bleeping Brady, bro. I know.
Here's the element of this game that's being most overlooked, okay? Two things. The Patriots are first in scoring defense, and everybody thinks they're really good in defense, but they played nobody.
Yeah.
And they played four teams ranked in the bottom 10 in scoring and two in the top 10 in scoring, and one was Steelers without Ben Landry Jones. So they didn't play anybody. Two, the Falcons' defense isn't nearly as bad as people portray it as being because the young players grew up as the season went along. Okay,
it's
you have all those
defense.
Rookies.
This is a different challenge.
They're fast, though. They're fast. The whole key to this will be if the young kids get caught up with Brady and he moves them with their eyes, they get caught out of position, they get big plays. Because look, they're going to be aggressive. They're going to be fast. But if they get caught out of position, he's going to kill them. So I still think in the end, 35-31, driving late in the game, Tom Brady, fourth down, back to throw, Vic Beasley knocks him down.
Wow! Very specific.
That is very specific.
You've given this a lot of thought.
I have.
Or you've already written a column on it.
I wrote the column on it, but I've also played it out different ways.
How many times? How many times have you played it out in your head, do you think?
Probably.
Give me a 50. Ballpark.
50.
50 last night.
How do you play it? Do you literally, like, see the ball
these guys
down
are,
the
that's
field.
Why I got a headache this
plays,
week I got
you literally see like you're looking
got,
into a crystal
they,
ball
people hitting me and stuff and they're in my head they're all over the place
right.
That's what's the problem
you
is.
Literally I can see you literally there like squinting
I feel like
really
just,
hard like squinting like, for a while so, like,
sometimes
cool,
I get up and I want to forearm the wall just
right
because like, I feel like I want to hit somebody.
I feel like he just admitted to schizophrenia in the,
no,
in the
hey that's nothing to be ashamed of
57 no nothing no, no,
I'm not the guy who's on medication
57 and a half over under total rushing yards for LeGarrette Blount. See that's the biggest thing.
How about carries? You can't do attempts.
I don't think they have attempts here. But that's the biggest thing that scares me is like because the Falcons have not been great against the run all year. I mean, that's been their one weakness.
I'm telling you, the New England are shapeshifters. They don't get caught up in what's sexy or what's going to look good in the box score. It's what
when
matchup
they were
do we exploit.
By, when they were favored by
they,
whatever
saying,
they were against the Giants, you picked them
Julio
in that game too.
I'm going to say everybody talked. No, no, I didn't. One of those Super Bowls
right,
I picked the
Let me
Giants.
Tell you, the one where they were undefeated. The one where they were undefeated at, and they played
so
at Arizona.
I picked them in that one. I did not pick them in
I
the other one.
I picked the Giants in that one. How about
I
that?
I picked the Giants in the second
Some of
one.
Us know how to pick Super Bowls.
Oh
Some
God.
Of us know how to
yeah,
pick.
Here's, I don't even know what the hell I picked most Super Bowls.
You don't even know what you did yesterday,
I
do
don't.
You?
I don't. I went on one of these radio stations, like, who did you pick? And I said what I thought. And they're like, no, dude, that's not what you pick. I'm like, they make us pick these games 30 seconds after last week's over.
I know.
And then you go on a radio station on Friday, and
they're
like, who do you
think's going
to win? Who did you say? They're like, well, that's not what you
picked. Who did you pick?
I sent that in like 3 a.m. on Monday night.
Who did you pick last week? You picked Atlanta. You
no,
changed
I think
your pick.
I picked New England.
You're like one of those touts. You give out
New
a
England.
You give
Pete
out a pick to two different
yeah, that's
sides.
That's what
of
these
the
guys
country.
Are accusing me of. I'm like,
he went Pete's hit two of the last three. You missed the Seahawks Broncos.
Correct.
Because you like the Broncos, but
correct.
You hit the Patriots Seahawks and you hit the Broncos Panthers.
Correct.
Because I know because I was.
Yeah, I know you didn't have Seattle Denver.
No.
Did you? How long did it take for you to get over that? Peyton Manning was over that game before Pete was.
You know how
Peyton
long?
Was like hitting golf balls with Papa John, and Pete was still curled up in the
fetal position. Peyton, you doing all right?
3 weeks later,
yeah. You, fine, man. What's your problem?
In the grand scheme of things, do you actually think I give a crap?
It was kind of funny.
Games?
No, but it was that one was. I got to say, that one was funny.
I'll say.
Watching
more,
him get beat like a pinata, and you're like cringing. For
I'll
him.
Say one more thing.
Not quite.
The Patriots Seahawks Super Bowl that was on NFL Network last night, and I was just packing and rewatching it. Russell Wilson didn't complete a pass until the second quarter. And then the Patriots were still – I mean, the Seahawks were still leading 28-14 in the third.
Yeah.
Like, if the Patriots play like that early, Falcons will light them up.
Well, what was happening
Matt Ryan's
that
not going
too,
a quarter
though.
And a half,
what
not completely.
What was happening in that game? On defense, Bennett took that game up. They couldn't stop Bennett.
Right.
They could not block Bennett.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this they got Dante Scarnecchia back. They've upgraded the personnel there.
And it's a
I
much
think
less
it's
dangerous
be,
pass rush.
I don't think it's going to be that. But, I mean, they literally couldn't block Bennett and Averill at the same time. They couldn't do it. And that changed the game. And then Seattle, you know, Seattle took over after Russell finally did start.
It'd be a lot harder for the New England to shut down the Falcons receivers than it was for them to shut down the Seahawks receivers.
I mean, Mohamed Sanu's a nice, like, he's a very nice player.
He's
but
an
like,
AA and he's good.
Hey, I mean, he ain't going to win this game. He's not beating Bill Belichick. They saw plenty of him in Cincinnati.
Belichick likes him. He's a Rutgers guy.
No, I like him, too. I think he's a really nice complimentary player, but, like, he ain't winning the Super Bowl.
It's the backs that win the Super Bowl. I got the Falcons, too. I got the Falcons 28-27, random score.
You like
I'm
the under.
I'm supposed to pick a score?
I do. Under four times in the last since 2000.
It's always going to.
It's gone under when it's been
31,
over
50. 31-24 Patriots.
So you got the
what's
under,
the what is the spread?
58.5 is the over
what's
under.
The spread?
Pats minus three.
Yeah,
I'll
go with
35-31 Falcons.
All
over
right.
And Falcons.
There you got it.
There you go.
That's our Radio Row Super Bowl podcast prediction. Drive via iTunes. Thanks to Blue Apron for being a sponsor.
I got the Blue Apron salmon. I'm going to make maybe I'll get some blue. Could we get Blue Apron to deliver
To the Super Bowl?
To the Super Bowl, and we'll make some salmon
in
up
the press box.
In the press
kitchen.
Box.
I like it. Your
or some Tex-Mex since we're in, maybe some burritos or something.
Send it on, Blue Apron. Hey, thanks for watching and listening, guys.